Absolutely. So we are lucky tonight to have Becky Nicole from the Philadelphia Health Department, Health Commissioner and Director of Nursing.
Yes.
Correct title. Okay. So they're here to answer some questions for you guys regarding COVID and how we work together and those kind of roles as far as when positive cases, quarantine, anything like that. I think that a couple things they're going to share off the bat. If you're comfortable doing that, if you ever want to kind of take the lead, and then board members will fire away at some questions possible.
You want me to go ahead
sure,
and start?
Sure.
Okay. So I know there's been a lot of question about numbers and what you're seeing in your dashboard and how we quarantine and go about doing that with students. When we get a positive case sent to our office, it initiates us to do an investigation. If it's one of your students, of course, we would contact the parents, or if it's a staff member, we would contact them and do an investigation of when they started getting ill, when they were last in school, who they think they were around at that point in time for us to look into quarantining. And then we reach out via email to Mr. Brand and let him know who the person was, what their date of onset was, when we are quarantining them, and what the look back period is, because there is a 48-hour look period from when they became ill, and that's where he needs to do contact tracing for us. He would then provide us with that list. As far as him updating the dashboard and stuff, he gets those numbers directly from us. When we get a positive case and we initiate that email and send it to him, that is where he is pulling these numbers from to get these positive COVID numbers that he's putting on your dashboards. We cannot tell him to quarantine or there's a case if we don't get a positive lab result. Sometimes people are just ill. They choose for whatever reason not to go test. That would not be triggered through the health department, and we can't take that as a case and say, hey, click and add that to your dashboard, or we're going to investigate that. There has to be lab work backing that up for us to investigate and quarantine and tell people they need to stay in their homes. Now, do you need more in depth, Mr. Brand?
I don't think we work together nearly a few times a day.
Yeah, we're emailing multiple times a day between us and the other staff that are contact tracing. I have to say you've done very well within a matter of hours. Even on weekends when I email you, if somebody's come up, we have lists emailed back in a very timely manner.
Do you feel like the dashboard's accurate?
Yes.
And the dashboard gets updated by Mr. Brand based upon the information that your agency
Yes.
sends to him.
Yes, he gets what we have. Whenever I email him, I make the distinction as well that this student is a positive case, it needs counted in your dashboard, or this person is being quarantined, but they're not a positive case, we don't need to contact trace.
Okay.
He is getting his numbers from us.
So you guys are steering the boat, if you will. Mr.
Right.
Brand simply following the instructions
Correct.
He gets.
Yeah. Now, occasionally he'll email and say, you know, I've heard somebody's ill, possible mm-hmm. COVID. Can you check into it? And we will. We'll follow up and see, you know, is there a lab report? Is there something we can pull? Maybe it just kind of got mixed, because we are getting, I mean, today we had close to 35 cases, which is a lot for a small department to try to sift through.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the grand scheme, if you're not in the middle of it, 35 may not seem like a lot, but you have to call each person, talk with them, interview them in depth, send the emails, do the contact tracing, call all of the contacts after that.
Issue
so it does
letters,
take time.
Inquiry letters, whatever they need from us. You know, by revised code, the health department it has the authority, and the only one can quarantine or isolate someone by law. So it's our lane, it's our job to do our best to try to slow the spread of COVID by doing that investigation with all positive cases, and then and contacting the close contacts that are named during the investigation. Sometimes, you know, it's subjective. It's what they report to us. That's what we have to go with. Maybe not everything is given to us. We often wonder, and so we do our best. There's seven of us in our office. There's only three of us that are working on this investigation. And that's a lot in one day. Our caseload used to be 6 to 10 a day. Now we're, and these are just new Philadelphia City residents. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting 30 to 50 a day.
It seems like you guys, at least from my narrow perspective, are doing a terrific job. Mm-hmm. And certainly tremendous benefit coming out of your office for our lovely community here. And I wouldn't want to let this take place because you guys come in to help us. You know, I think one of our goals that we have as a school is that social media sometimes tends to take things over and become the reality, even though it's not. And I think something that we need to do is always make sure that the parents understand that the school's doing everything that it can. You guys and the folks that work with you are the experts, and that's the kind of reassurance I guess I'm looking for with you guys being here this evening, is that the district in your mind is following the directions that you give us, that we're following them specifically and putting a good deal of effort into being responsive and timely and mm-hmm. doing things right, I guess, is what it really boils down to. I'm getting the impression from you guys that you feel like, because the board doesn't have anything to do with this.
No.
You know, this is these three and their staffs pulling this all together and making it happen with your assistance.
Sure. And we work closely with David, but we also with TCC and also with Buckeye Career Center, that their school districts, their school buildings are in our jurisdiction, so that, you know, we work with all the schools in our jurisdiction. I really feel for schools right now. I mean, to be an educator and run school districts in a normal setting is tough. And now you add in pandemic. And so, you know, we're all doing the best we can. David's doing absolutely a great job trying to keep up. He's very responsive to us. We try to be that way for him as well when we're all needing to work together to try to find out who needs to be quarantined and stay home so we can slow the spread.
Mm-hmm. And I think just one of the other misconceptions out there is just because we hear somebody's positive, not to say they are or aren't, until it's confirmed or told, that's half of the battle, because you have no idea when the period of time that they're contagious. And so these ladies in their departments and their expertise are the ones who tell. So we know how far back the contact trace. In fact, that's one of the things that our screener has helped a great deal, because when kids do have symptoms, they're not coming to school or staff. And so we may have 1 or 2 days as opposed to 5 to 7 days to look at or something like that. But that's why it's critical, because some folks are, when I'm talking to a parent or a staff member, okay, you know, go, I got the test today, go. Well, I don't know when to start from. And so I could either be advising a staff member to stay home until they hear from the health department when they shouldn't, or miss a whole day's worth or two of folks when they were contagious. And so that's where these guys are just so helpful. And they're quick. I mean, it's very, very quick.
We do try to look through. I mean, if it's a kid and we think that they're in the school, we do try to pull those and look through and get them back as quickly as possible so you can start contact tracing as quickly as possible. But there is some lag time. Like you said, you know, he may get a call from somebody and say, hey, I'm positive. What do I do? Well, it needs to be, you need to stay home until the health department contacts you. Because you're absolutely right. You don't know when were they needing to be quarantined from the day of the test? Was it a few days before? A lot of times people don't realize until we really start interviewing them and drilling down, oh yeah, I did kind of have a headache and I did kind of feel achy that day last week, but I didn't put it together that that's probably what it was. Until we really start interviewing and getting down to it, we don't know when they need to be quarantined from or when we need to look back to.
It's been a tough virus to follow. It mimics sinus infections. It mimics allergies. It mimics the flu. It some people have no symptoms and they're infected and they're outspreading when they weren't aware. So it's really tough. You know, at first we heard fever, cough, and shortness of breath as our main symptoms to look for, and 90% of people don't have those. Most, half, don't have fevers. And if they are, they're about 99, under 100. They're very, very, very minor. So no one thinks much of it. The only symptom that is unlike anything else is the loss of taste and smell. And not everybody has that. Every case is individual. It's a different combination. But I would say a large number of people, headache and the sinus congestion, nasal congestion is some of the big ones that we hear most often. We have it coming in at us, you know, the lag time. As Nicole said, a lag time of how soon the labs get it to us. You know, and we have them coming in via emails and via faxes and via every direction from multiple sources. There's a lot of testing sites now, and they add in the rapid testing sites up in Canton. And, you know, it's a job. It really is. We switched gears today. We got our first supplies to start looking toward vaccination. Oh, okay. And I think we'll have vaccine in our door this week. So we got excited. We got actual the needles and swabs and things we need to vaccinate, and we're like, you know, how we're supposed to do vaccination clinics and still keep up with this workload of positive cases. I can't tell you that answer right now, but we're like
hoping we're the beginning and the end here.
Yeah, finally.
Is that going to be like walk-in clinics in your office, or are you just going to be supplying nursing homes or hospitals or doctor's offices?
The state health department has put before CDC a guidance, and we're doing tiers. So the people that are most at risk are EMS, people working with COVID patients, people living in congregate settings, group homes. Those are the folks that are at the top of the tier, excuse me, and those are the ones we can immunize first. And so we've already reached out and then making schedule arrangements with our New Philly Fire and their EMS there. We're also dentists, practitioners. But the problem is with the vaccine, it can only be warmed up, be viable for 12 hours. Outside the refrigerator, it's frozen. You have to warm it up to refrigerate it, and then to a room temperature. And then once you prick that vial, there's 10 doses there. You use it within 6 hours or it's wasted. So that puts us in a real spot. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure we have 10 arms every time we open a bottle. So we're trying not to lose any of this gold, liquid gold, we call it. So that's our next chore. That's what we're working on all day today in between caseloads, trying to figure out how's that going to look. We will have small groups coming in the office to answer your question, and then we'll move to our park to score. Our park is a point of distribution site. And when we do that, we'll also do it by appointments because there's parking. People have to sit 15 minutes after they receive their injection before they move on and leave for home. So we have to go through all that logistical stuff.
Am I free to talk about 1B?
Absolutely.
Okay. So based on their advice, what's going to be going out to our staff shortly, because there's high potential that teachers are listed in that 1B, the next category after. So what they've asked us to do is for us as school districts to reach out to our staff and our team, seeing who's interested. So then that way we have that ready to go when they say they're ready, you know, like you say, they went to 10 arms, we need to get up 10 arms. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to delay. So we want to have that list, so to speak, or not list, so to speak, the list ready for whenever that day is, whether however long it takes to get to 1B, that we're ready. So you'll see emails come through for our staff to start showing that they're interested or that they would like to do that.
When that does happen and we do look for people in 1B to immunize, we have specific amount of vaccine coming in. We're told they'll ship weekly. We're up for 200 doses this week. We have to, we just want, the vaccine does no one any good unless it's in an arm. You know, it's not going to slow our pandemic. This is our way out of getting back to some normal life if we can achieve herd immunity through vaccination.
You know, somebody's vaccinated, I mean, can they be more relaxed with the masks or?
They have not given guidance that you don't need to mask. They said they eventually, as we get enough people, may take another look at that here in the next few months. But as of now, they're not saying to be lax with anything. It's just going to be that you know you're protected. I mean, the vaccines have a 95% efficacy rate, so.
But that's after the second.
After second dose, yes.
The first dose is like, what, 45, 50?
I think yeah, I heard, and then we catch most people on the second dose. Yeah.
And I think it means that for sure you can't get infected, but we're still learning about whether you can carry. So in the meantime, we still continue this, mm-hmm. but you know that, you know, how sometimes the virus is so terrible for some folks. There are people on ventilators. The hospital is full. Every hospital is full. For some people, they skate by with very little symptoms, and others, it's just severe. And so we know that the more we can vaccinate, the more that we know that we can't control, we can't get the virus and become ill from it after that second dose. I'm rolling up my sleeve. Next week, Chief Parrish and I are going to take a dual picture. As you know, that public health workers have to be vaccinated because we're the ones running those clinics. We're in the face of the public coming at us. And if we're not protected, then we're more than likely going to become ill ourselves.
Anybody else have questions for our health department?
I just want to say you've done an excellent job too with the kids and protecting the staff and the students, the barriers that you're using, the face masks are being used well, appropriately. We're not seeing spread occur in your school. We have cases that are coming up positive here and there, but when we pull those cases out, everybody that we're quarantining, we're not seeing positives arise from that. So you guys are doing an excellent job. Your staff is doing an excellent job. I just want to say you're making our jobs easier. Thank you for that.
Well, thanks for coming and sharing the information. It certainly will help a lot. You're very informative.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you. Thank you guys so much for all your hard work and dedication and working long hours. So thank
people
you.
Talk about really pandemic it. Fatigue. We certainly are fatigued. but we want this over as much or more than anyone else. But we've got to soldier on until we get to the other side.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.